Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, March 5th. I'm John Weigel here with Rob Litterst, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. UFC and WWE, two companies based on the art of watching people beat each other up, have had some incredible success since tag teaming as TKO Group Holdings. Since combining in September of 2023, both WWE and UFC have seen their quarterly revenue reach over $280 million each. But why such incredible success, and where is the money coming from? We'll chat about all that in a bit, but first let's give you the hits and headlines today across business and tech. Kicking us off, JetBlue and Spirit Airlines officially called off their $3.8 billion merger after a federal court stopped the deal over antitrust claims. JetBlue will pay Spirit $69 million for the deal's termination. What do you think about this, Rob? We've been talking about it a bunch over the past few months.
We really have. And I actually just flew JetBlue last weekend, had a pretty solid experience. It was not the cheapest flight, so the Spirit merger would have been nice. Mm-hmm. It also probably would have opened up inventory for more jets. And one of my flights was late. It got pushed and delayed, which is a bummer. So I actually would have loved to see this, and I don't understand why they didn't approve of this. At the end of the day, JetBlue and Spirit, if combined, would still be, I think, like the third biggest airline. They still wouldn't be in the top two.
Right.
And at the end of the day, like, I don't think it's a problem if we have like four dominant airlines. It's if we have like two or something like that, and they can really drive price control, especially with Spirit being kind of like this loss leading airline where prices can get really low. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand what the hesitation is with this.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. We've kind of seen a lot of mergers been shot down over the past few months. And even if you remember that one with Adobe and Figma, maybe that one's a bit more specialized in kind of the art and design field. But I feel like regulators are getting a bit more dicey about mergers lately. I don't know what it is. Maybe tech is just kind of ruining everybody these days with their big company presence.
Fair.
But yeah, it seems like people are getting a little skittish about mergers lately.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Up next, the EU tech crackdown continues as Apple got fined about $2 billion by EU regulators for violating antitrust laws. More on that antitrust. The European Commission said the company's App Store rules restrict developers from giving users alternative ways to subscribe to music streaming platforms. All right, moving on. Drake and LeBron James are among the notable investors pouring $3 billion into the PGA Tour. Golf isn't their first shared investment, though. The rapper and basketball legend both have a stake in Italian soccer team AC Milan. What do you think about this, Rob? You're like the perfect person to talk to about this one.
Yeah, Drake and golf is like really kind of at the crossroads of two of my biggest interests. I'm a huge Drake fan, huge golf fan. This is interesting to me. If you read this article on Front Office Sports, it sounds as if they're talking about LeBron and Drake as strategic investors, and they're both going to use their marketing influence to help the tour expand its audience. I think that's super smart. I mean, at the end of the day, like, Tiger Woods did a lot for broadening the scope of golf fanhood.
Definitely.
But there's still a lot of work to be done. The people that are playing the most golf probably still kind of fit within a pretty similar demographic. And the more you can expand that, the better. It's been really cool to watch a lot of NBA players specifically get really into golf. Like, I think Steph Curry's a scratch golfer. Mm-hmm. J.R. Smith, who recently retired from the NBA, went back to finish his degree at school and played college golf. But it's been super cool to see that happen. I know J.J. Redick has a podcast. He's an avid golfer. Andre Iguodala, same deal. So it seems like there's a ton of kind of crossover interest between basketball players and golf. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see how both of these guys kind of use their influence to push it forward.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It seems like they really need new mainstream stars to grow the appeal of golf and kind of grow their reach. So I think Drake and LeBron are probably the two best people that you could ever pick to market your sports product, honestly.
Totally. Other than Taylor Swift. Like, if you get Taylor Swift into golf, it's game over. But yeah, other than that, yeah, 100%.
The second Travis Kelce starts playing golf, give me a call.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, moving on. Cut cables below the Red Sea have disrupted 25% of internet traffic between Asia, Europe, and the Middle East. It's not clear how the cables were damaged, but repairs won't start for at least a month due to a complicated permitting process. Pretty insane.
That is completely insane. And it's only times like these that I feel like people remember that the only reason we all have cable is because people laid these cables decades ago. And if you're wondering why there was like this massive monopoly and just crazy lucrative business around cable, it's because of all that upfront work and how freaking hard it is to lay down cables across all of these places.
Yeah, this is underwater too.
Crazy.
So the amount of effort it must take to repair this is probably also insane and ridiculous. So a month, it seems like actually quite a short timeline to repair something like this.
Yeah, I'm actually really surprised that it's that quick.
And finally, Whole Foods Market Daily Shop, which is a third or less the size of a regular Whole Foods, will debut in 5 New York City locations this fall with pared down offerings for customers on the go. All right, so let's get to our main story today. Today's main story is all about laying the smack down and knowing your role. TKO Group Holdings, consisting of WWE and UFC, has had quite the successful first quarter run. Rob, what are the numbers on this?
So I think the first number to look at here, John, TKO cleaned up in its first full quarter since its September formation with $614 million in quarterly revenue, $331.2 million from WWE and $282.8 million from the UFC.
Wow.
It's really, really cool. I mean, I think TKO Group Holdings is absolutely genius. In the world of media now, they talk about how sports is really kind of like the linchpin holding cable together.
Oh, yeah.
WWE and UFC, not everybody is a fan of it, but those that are have willingness to pay for these channels and they're super, super interested in it. One of my best friends is a big UFC fan and he honestly buys every single fight.
Yeah.
He buys it and it becomes kind of like an event that he's going to watch basically every weekend. And that, I think, makes us a very, very smart media business because you have these events and you have this kind of like regular cycle of stuff that you can promote. And all of these events create this massive news stream. And so there's a lot of content that you can create around it.
Definitely.
I think it's a super smart idea. And I'm not surprised by these initial numbers at all.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me too. Like as a big WWE fan, their deal with Peacock is crazy because they have what they call a premium live event, formerly known as a pay-per-view, that occurs every single month. And it really bumped up the amount of Peacock subscribers in the past few years since they made that partnership. So they've really been earning a lot in the live space, like live television and cable and whatnot. You and Mark a few weeks ago talked about rights for WWE Raw, just sold to Netflix for about $5 billion or something crazy like that.
For the next 10 years, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. For the next 10 years. So, I mean, it seems like cable TV rights are a big thing. Seems like live events are a big thing. But what's the big moneymaker here? I guess what kind of makes that $614 million pie?
They have a lot of different avenues to make money. And both WWE and UFC are really, really good at selling merch. So they have kind of like a direct-to-consumer merchandising business. They're really good at activating sponsors. So they have this kind of like partnership and advertising business. And the aforementioned events business that we talked about, They get a lot of people to buy seats to their events. And if they're not actually buying seats in person, a lot of them are buying access online to those fights, at least for the UFC. So to put some numbers behind that, UFC increased live event revenue by $42.6 million in 2023, so on the upswing there. And WWE's live attendance was up 34% last year. So both of them just crushing it from a live event standpoint. To your point, a huge piece of this is media fees. That ultimately makes up the biggest bulk of all of their revenue. The other pieces that I just mentioned are all kind of ancillary. Mm-hmm. To put that into context, media fees make up 64% of WWE revenue and 59% of revenue for UFC. And that was before WWE inked its deal with Netflix, which you mentioned it's $5 billion over the next 10 years. So really, really interesting to see what happens there.
Wow. And I like what you hit on earlier, Rob, about how specialized WWE and UFC are and how their fans will shell out amazing amounts of money to go see the events live. They'll pay for the broadcast. They'll kind of do whatever. They're not exactly reaching that NFL/NBA level, as you alluded to before, but it seems like they're kind of the next best thing in town.
100%. And I think the thing that's genius about WWE, you mentioned Raw, which is cable's top rated show right now. It's averaging 1.7 million viewers so far this year. Both of these brands, I think, lend themselves really well to ancillary content around the actual events. If you look at WWE or if you look at the UFC, they're filled with personalities. So you look at something like F1 and Drive to Survive and the documentary around that, and making all these characters really interesting. I don't think you have to do anything inventive to make the characters in WWE and UFC interesting. They're all inherently characters. That's a big part of being a fighter.
Right.
And so it's really, really natural. Both of these brands in UFC, I know, what was it? Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah. Oh, the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
What a classic.
That was one of these original kind of docu-series that kind of went along with the actual event content and was incredibly successful. So, I mean, Raw averaging almost 2 million viewers so far this year. The UFC largely employs a pay-per-view model, but over its history, 77 different bouts have had 500,000 people buy them on TV.
Wow.
So just a huge, huge market here and super rabid fan base.
Yeah. And we would be remiss if we didn't say that a new member of the TKO board as of about a month ago is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who is a larger-than-life celebrity mainstream star himself. So he's looking to expand their international footprint to even further heights. And I know he's actually on the card for WWE's WrestleMania this year. So he's kind of jumping into that role full force, it looks like.
Yeah, I had no idea that he has almost 400 million Instagram followers. That is outrageous.
It's crazy.
But yeah, he is exactly what I'm talking about when you talk about a character in WWE. I know Netflix just recently did this documentary on golf, and I think some of those guys, I'm sure, are very interesting, but they're a lot less interesting than fighters, I think, if you're just looking at those two groups separately. So you got somebody like The Rock out there, you're going to have very entertaining content no matter what happens.
Oh, certainly. And just to mention that this all isn't without controversy of any kind, because we do know earlier this year, Vince McMahon, the former WWE chairman, left TKO after he got hit with a sexual assault and trafficking lawsuit. So he's currently figuring all that out. So it's not exactly all sunshine and rainbows for TKO, but with Vince McMahon kind of out of there, it seems like they're course correcting a bit. So we'll see what happens there, too. All right, and that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for tuning in to the Hustle Daily Show. We're a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a lot more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email, and we'll see you tomorrow.